Is God in control? Is God really in control? This is a question that we all ask at different times. About 6 months ago, I bought a subscription to the Australian newspaper. And every day as I read it, there are two things that continue to surprise me. First of all, there's always a newspaper full of news. There's always lots to talk about. And secondly, always seems to be more bad news than good news. Whether it's terrorist attacks, mass shootings, domestic violence, jobs leaving the country, the North Korean situation, weak political leadership here or overseas, I could go on, there always seems to be more bad news than good news. I'm sure you all can relate. Our newspapers, our TVs, our Facebook feeds, even our Instagram feeds, with all the nice pictures, remind us that we are living in a world that just seems to be getting worse, not better. Even if we know our Bibles and we know that God is in control, the world around us always gives us reason to wonder and doubt. Well, tonight we're continuing through our series through John 13 to 17. Jesus is sitting with his disciples having the Last Supper. I look at verse 1 of the chapter, chapter 13, verse 1. It kind of sets the scene for us. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that his time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus knows that his time has come. The time that Jesus' life has been leading up to has finally come. But in our passage tonight, he turns around and gives his disciples some bad news. One of them is going to betray him. Betrayal? This is bad news. How could God let this happen? Why would he let this happen? Is God in control? Well, tonight we'll be looking at the passage in three headings. First of all, the betrayal was always part of the script. Second of all, Jesus stuck to the script. And lastly, Jesus knew the end of the story. Let's pray before we go any further. Dear God, thank you that the Bible is you speaking to us. As I preach and as we look closely at what you're saying to us, please keep me from adding or subtracting from what your message is here. And please help all of us to learn from your word tonight and put it into practice. Amen. First point. The betrayal was always part of the script. Look at verse 18 with me. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. This is midway through a talk that Jesus is giving to his disciples as they're having the Last Supper. In verse 1, he's told them that his time has come. The time that his whole life has been leading up to. He's just demonstrated his love to them by washing their feet. And he's told them all that they are to go out and copy the example that he's set for them. But then here in verse 18, he says that he's not referring to everyone in the room. There is a betrayer in the room. How did Jesus know that someone was going to betray him? Was it a recent discovery? No, Jesus had known this was going to happen for a long time. The first time that he told his disciples about it was back in John chapter 6, verse 70 to 71. And then just before in the passage we looked at last week, in chapter 13, verse 2, we were given another look behind the scenes. Look at it with me, verse 2. The evening meal was being served. And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew what was happening. But more than that, he knew the Old Testament. He knew that this betrayal was always part of the script. Read verse 18 again with me. "I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me." This is a quote from Psalm 41, verse 9. This was a psalm written by a guy named King David hundreds of years before Jesus came into the world. David was writing about an experience of betrayal in his life, but what Jesus is saying here is that Psalm 41 is not ultimately about David and his experience of betrayal. Jesus is saying it's pointing right to this moment. The betrayal had to happen because it was part of the script. It was in the script. In verses 19 and 20, Jesus explains to his disciples why he's telling them this. Look at verse 19 with me. "I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will know that I am he." He's telling them that the betrayal is going to happen before it happens, so that they can know that he is God. It's in the script. He is the one that the Old Testament is pointing to. In verse 20, Jesus gives his disciples a promise. He tells them that if anyone accepts a person that he sends, then they are accepting him. Jesus' time has come. He's already predicted his death several times before in John. Soon his disciples are going to be sent to tell everyone about him. All right, I want you to think about movies for a second. They all have scripts, and they all follow a simple pattern. They all have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Allow me to illustrate with Back to the Future. First of all, there's a beginning. You're introduced to all the characters, and the scene is set. It's 1985, and Marty McFly is the main character. He's pretty cool. He's got a girlfriend named Jennifer, he's good friends with a crazy scientist named Doc Brown, and he's chilling out, doing life, in a place called Hill Valley. Then you have the middle bit. Doc Brown shows Marty his DeLorean. Marty jumps in the DeLorean when a bunch of Libyan terrorists interrupt them, and he accidentally time travels back to the year 1955. And during his week back in 1955, his mum falls in love with him. This builds until the end bit. Marty manages to get his mum to fall back in love with his dad, and then on the 5th of November 1955, during a thunderstorm, Doc Brown helps Marty time travel back to 1985 by harnessing the power of a lightning strike into the flux capacitor. It almost looks like it's not going to happen. But sure enough, it does happen. Marty gets back to 1985, and then Marty lives happily ever after until Back to the Future number 2. When we read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, we can be quick to look for what it means for us. But we need to be careful. It's all about Jesus. On Wednesday mornings, just like the other NTSs, I teach scripture at North Sydney Demonstration School just across the road. We have a saying that helps the kids remember how to read the Bible, and it goes like this. The Old Testament points to Jesus, and the New Testament is about Jesus. The Old Testament is like a movie script, and Jesus is the main character. We have proof of this with Psalm 41. Jesus came to fulfill Psalm 41, but he also came to fulfill the rest of the Old Testament too. It's all about him. So, whenever you read anything in the Old Testament, always make sure you ask the question, how does this point to Jesus? How does this passage point me to Jesus? That brings us to point number 2. Jesus stuck to the script. Point number 2, Jesus stuck to the script. From verses 21 to 26... you see that Jesus was obedient despite the drama around him. Jesus was obedient so that we can be confident that he is God. His betrayal is a little bit like the bad bit before the end of a movie. He knew the Old Testament. He knew what was happening and he knew why it was happening. But he felt the temptation to pull out. Look at verse 21 with me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth. One of you is going to betray me." Jesus has been feeling this stress for a while. He's known that this was coming. We see this back in John chapter 12, verse 27. Look at John chapter 12, verse 27 with me. Here we see the struggle in his heart revealed more clearly. "Now my heart is troubled." John chapter 12, verse 27. "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour." Jesus is sticking to the script. He is being obedient so that we can be confident that he is God. The disciples around the table are confused. They all want to know who the betrayer is. In verse 24, Peter turns to the disciple sitting next to Jesus. This is John. When it says the disciple whom Jesus loved, it's just John's way of talking about himself. He was a close friend with Jesus. But Peter asked John to point out who the betrayer is. And Jesus answers John by saying that he will give bread to the betrayer. This is what Psalm 41 verse 9 prophesied. Read verse 26 with me. Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." And he dipped it in, then he dipped the piece of bread. He gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. Jesus was sticking to the script. He was being obedient. But look at the next verse, verse 27. "As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him." "What you're about to do, do quickly," Jesus told him. Here we see the devil enter the scene. He's already given Judas the idea. We see that back in verse 2 of chapter 13. But as soon as Judas willingly took the piece of bread, we see the devil make his move. He would have thought that Jesus had finally made the fatal mistake. But the devil was wrong. Jesus hadn't made a mistake. We've already seen that he knew about Psalm 41 verse 9. He knew all he was doing. He was just following the script. Movies stay the same no matter how many times you've watched them. I've watched Back to the Future a fair few times, and I can confidently say that every time you watch it, stays the same. The characters in the movie stick to the script because they are part of the story. But here's the amazing thing that you see here in John 13, 18 to 30. Jesus is the script writer who entered into the story. He is God in the flesh. He's 100% human and 100% God. When he grew up as an Israelite back in the first century, he studied the Old Testament carefully and he knew that it was all about him. He knew the script. He was troubled because he knew that what it was that he had to do, and it wasn't easy, it was a big task. He felt the temptation to give in, but he was obedient. He did this so that we can be confident that he is God. And this brings us to our final point. Jesus knew the end of the story. Jesus knew the end of the story. Our passage tonight ends with a cliffhanger. Read verse 30 with me. "As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night." It was night. This is more than just a description of the time. This is emphasizing the gravity of the situation. If this were a movie, there'd be intense music playing, the lighting would be dark, there'd be a real sense that something bad was about to happen. In verse 28 and 29, it shows us how lonely Jesus was at this moment. None of his disciples understood fully what was happening. not even John, Jesus' closest friend. When Judas left, they all thought he was doing a job for Jesus. They thought he was going to buy something or he was going to give some money to the poor. Judas had willingly given in to the devil. The devil thought he'd made his winning move, and the disciples were just confused. When you watch a movie for the first time, you don't know how it's going to finish. Forgive me, but think again of Back to the Future. During a scene in 1955 where Doc and Marty are trying to harness the lightning from the storm into the DeLorean, everything goes wrong. For a second, it looks like Doc Brown's plan might not work. Will Marty get back to 1985? Well, you can be smart and make an educated guess, but unless you've actually watched the movie before, you can't know for sure how it's going to finish. But Jesus was the scriptwriter who entered into the story. During the betrayal, Jesus knew the end of the story, and he was obedient despite the drama of the moment. When it was night and it looked like the devil had taken control, God was still in control. God the Father wrote the script, and Jesus, the Son of God, stuck to it right to the end. John's Gospel continues, and we see that Jesus goes all the way to the cross. He died on the cross and rose again, and in doing so, he defeated the devil. The devil is defeated. So when you see bad news in the newspaper or on the TV or on Facebook or on Instagram, you don't need to be worried about whether God is in control or not. The story is already over. It's not night anymore. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. The only reason that the world hasn't ended yet is because the promise in verse 20 has not been completely fulfilled yet. Read verses 19 and 20 with me again. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. People still need to accept Jesus. People still need to believe that Jesus is God, the one that the Old Testament points to. Jesus sent out the disciples, and now we're a part of that. We're sent to go and tell people about Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son Jesus, the scriptwriter who entered into the story. Thank you that he knew the script and he stuck to it. He knew the Old Testament and he was obedient. Thank you that we can be confident that Jesus is your Son. Thank you that you were in control, even during the night. You were in control even when it looked like the devil had taken control. We know that there are still many more people that you've chosen that need to accept Jesus. There are still people who need to believe that Jesus is God. You sent out the disciples and now you're sending us out. Please give us confidence in knowing who Jesus is because he was obedient. Amen.